Yes, good morning, dear listeners. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. I think it's the right time now to thank Matthias Angala. And yeah, as it has always been the case, this is your morning voice, Early Morning Scoop, where we look at business and also economic matters. It's also a place where we unpack various topics, particularly those which are connected and related to national, regional, and international development. And this is a platform where we look at critical issues. We do policy analysis, and it's a platform where we unpack what need to be done and provide the direction forward in terms of conversation and also in terms of current affairs. So it's a very beautiful morning, and wherever you are finding yourself, it's always very important to remind yourself that, you know, you have value, and whatever you do, as it has always been said, life is a series of decisions that you are making, and whatever you do, whatever decision you are taking, there is always a price to pay. There is also a price to pay for doing nothing, or there is a price to pay for snoozing that reminder button. And yeah, so for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, Early Morning Scoop is your conversation program. It's a program that we must have conversation. It's a program that we look deep into issues. And it's also a program where we encourage our listeners to make sure that they communicate with us, to make sure that they air their views, they air their opinion. Because we don't only look at national and international affairs in terms of governance, but we look at the whole you know, sector, or cutting across all the sectors, especially those discussions which has to do with bread and butter, especially those discussions which has to do with bread and butter. And we are always saying as long as our country is not where it was supposed to be in terms of development, we should continue talking, and we should continue contributing to the building of the Namibia that we want, and also to the advancement of the Namibian people, because a state cannot exist without the people, and the people must feel safe, secured, and also happy, and participate, practical participation in national economic development. And like I've said, we encourage constructive criticism. We don't need to agree on conversation that we bring about, particularly this morning. We don't always want you to agree with the conversation that is being brought about, but you have a right to argue. You have a right to respectfully disagree, and also you have a right to make sure that you bring your point, you bring your opinion, because we understand, we have a good understanding to say, for us to build institutions, for us to build, starting from the basic foundation of the society, for you to build a very strong family, for you to build a very strong business, for you to build a very strong region and country, you don't necessarily need people who agree with you on everything. You need people who advise, people who criticize you, and also people who provide alternative ways of doing things. And that is what we are encouraging, because we want to bring about those new innovative ideas, those new innovative thinkings. And yeah, so before we go to the conversation of today, it's always very important to make sure that you communicate with us. It's always very important to make sure that you connect with us. Yeah, you can follow us in our social media platform, Eagle FM Namibia. You can follow us on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on LinkedIn, and also follow us on Instagram. So, what is also very interesting is that apart from you connecting with us in all our social media platform, we also have our e-paper. That is your economic paper, the Villager newspaper. It's an e-paper that is coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. If you are a student of politics, student of economics, if you are the environment actor, you are entrepreneurship, you are an entrepreneur, you are a business person, because there's a difference between an entrepreneur and a business person. You are a policymaker. It's always very important to make sure that for you to be up to date with content of development, content of economics, it's always very important to make sure that you take time and subscribe to our e-paper, the Villager newspaper. And when you do that, you'll be able to have access to domestic, affairs, regional affairs and international affairs, particularly in terms of trade, in terms of energy, in terms of social development, and in terms of finance, particularly a financial system, either it's banking, investment, and international institutions, and the direction forward. So on top of that, you can also connect with us through our app, because there are always those people who are asking, why Eagle FM, we are not connected with you? Why is very difficult for your frequency to reach our region, as it has always been here? So we found a better alternative ways of connecting with you through our app. Download Eagle FM app. Download Eagle FM app. It's an app that you can download by just go to your Play Store. When you go to your Play Store, download Eagle FM Namibia. Download that app. When you download our app, the operational mechanism of Eagle FM app is the same as you have WhatsApp in your phone. It's the same as you have those Facebook app, those TikTok app. But this one, when you download it, the moment you open it, you'll be able to listen to the programs which are on air. You'll be able to listen to the conversation which are on air like right now. And what is also very interesting is that there is an open archive recorded and saved previous programs. It could be that you have missed them. It could be that you were busy doing something while that program was on air. So for you to do that, for you to connect it to that program, or for you to go back and do your research, you just need to go to podcast. They are documented, dates, time, presenters, guests. Then you can listen to your whole show with your time at your own pace. And the other thing that we need to look at, or what else you also need to do for you to be connected with us, or the other alternative way, is also by connecting us online. Just type in Eagle FM Namibia, you go to where there is home, then you can listen to us online. You can listen to us online, and we'll update you, we'll communicate with you, and we'll definitely build that needed conversation, and we contribute positively to the goals and objectives of the country and the continent at large. Yeah, on top of that, we have Imba app. Imba app is a simplification and a better way of using a hymn book, that is your Ehangano book, because you find yourself in a situation where you have to use a hymn book but you don't have it, especially as Christians who go to church, or those who like singing. You can be invited at, can be a wedding, can be a graduation party, can be unfortunate but life events, can death in the family or in relatives, or wherever you are finding yourself attending those unfortunate events. But there are those situations that require you, or these are the situations that require you at least to use a hymn book to sing. But when you don't have a hard copy hymn book, stop bothering people. And stop scratching your head, because we have you, we got you. Just by download Imba app. When you download Imba app, you'll be able to have access to those book song. Can be in Oshuambo, that is of course Ehangano. Can be Ocherero, Maimborero. We have Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages that in that Imba app. Even a pastor, you find yourself in a situation where it's very difficult for you to lead your congregation because you do not have a hymn book, you forgot it, you left it in the altar, or you gave it to somebody. in that situation, you don't need to stress yourself. Download Impa app. Your life is simplified and you can perform your work, to the best of your abilities. So, dear listeners, for those of you who are waking up, now, for those of you who have already, started with, your day, this is, Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Shombe, and we are here until the hour of, 7:30. We are looking at, conversations. We are looking at, what, is bringing, what is bringing, how to advance issues of bread and butter. And, after a short commercial break, we'll be able to bring what do we have on the table today? What conversation do we have on the table this morning? And how can you contribute to this, conversation as far as, national and continental development is concerned? So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of, 7:30.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitidamo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamoili nawa Ninge fata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onore tatuimwe bali heari, nola natu, heari bali no heari. Ile ko berewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news, Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know?
Yes, welcome back to Early Morning Scoop. Welcome back to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today, the conversation for today is going to be around young people and or youth agenda. Today, we are going to discuss about youth. We are going to look at the context of young people at the continental level, and most importantly, at the national level. And looking at the conversation for today, is under the theme that. Defining the African continental agenda through the lens of youth. What is in for the African youth? What is the common youth agenda that Namibians are sharing? And also, what are some of the challenges, opportunities that young people are facing? And how can young people participate in national, economic, political and social development of this country. And our conversation for today is based on the context of global statistics, and also it's also going to look at some historical events which have happened, how African young people have been defining their generational mission through history, and also what are some of the obstacles, what is our current generational mission that we are asking ourselves, because this is where the direction of the conversation is going to be. Just to give you context, when you look at United Nations Population Fund statistics, which is indicating that in terms of Africa, has the youngest continent, is the youngest continent in the world, and it consists of more than 70% of African population is under the age of 30, and that, if that is not enough, looking at the Namibian context, 71.1% of the population is under the age of 30. Yeah, it means that the continent is younger than it has been. Majority of the African people are youth. And the critical questions that you need to ask yourself is that what is on the table for young people? Who should define the future of Africa? And the question also that we need to ask ourselves is that in terms of national development, whether it's Namibia, whether it's South Africa, whether it's Gambia, whether it's Zimbabwe, what portion or what role are young people playing? And before we go too deep into that conversation, we're also going to look at the National Youth Policy, Namibia National Youth Policy, number 3 to be in particular, and also look at the City of Windhoek youth policy. What are some of the challenges? Why are youth, why are the Namibian youth not on the table? And what are those who are on the table discussing about? And it's undeniable that young people should not be invited into conversation anymore, because they are in the building already. Population is indicating it, that they are already in the building. And what platforms are they? And what is the barrier of, you know, effective participation of young people in economic development, in innovation and research and development, and also building the country? And why are the skills of young people in Namibia are not utilized? And what is the main issue in terms of integrating young people to national and also continental development agenda? Now, to start with, Africa as a continent went in a transformation from colonial time, and post-colonial. And when you look at history will be able to indicate to us that most of major events, particularly those which has to do with the transformation of Africa, during those difficult time, they were driven by young people. And to put into context, one of the major events is the Soweto uprising, or the crash of 1960 or 1976. Yeah, when the youth, or the learners at that time, the students at that time in South Africa decided to stand up against the very strong regime of white colonial master in South Africa. And there's a report of about 800 fatalities through that chaotic event. But what is very interesting is that during that period of time, the younger generation of that time decided to say, we are contributing. We don't need to be invited on the table. We are contributing to transformation of South Africa and also African continent at large. And this is indicating to you that events like Soweto Uprising, they are more than a political event. They are events which were driven by futuristic thinking. Yeah, they were driven by futuristic thinking. And these are events which were also driven by the need to change the status quo. Because if young people at our time, we are not addressing our issue, if you are not, you know, we don't even need to knock. We must respectfully contribute because we are already in the building. Statistics are showing it because there is nothing for young people without the involvement of young people. That is a conversation. And what is also interesting, particularly when you look at Soweto Uprising, is that the records are saying, you know, after these South African young people confronted the white colonial regime, which was imposing Afrikaans on them, and most of them, they were beaten up, some were jailed, many of them were also, they become casualties, they were killed. After that demonstration, they went to bars and clubs because, this is where elders were, the adults. They started kicking out the drinks and breaking things. That was not disrespectful. They wanted to prove a point. Then they said, no, you adults, you are sitting here while our future is being stolen. What are you doing? You are sitting here while our future is being stolen. And what are you doing when people are putting our future into the drainage? Those are some of the questions that these young South Africans were asking. And to put it into context, you can also try to align that with the current needs at the time, particularly to young people. Why are we not demanding what is needed for us? What are the elders doing about our future? And what can we do to change the status quo? Yeah, because it's not correct. It would never be right. Because when I'm going to read you documents and their objectives and what is being presented at the national level, you'll be able to realize that there's a lot of things that need to be done. You'll be able to realize also that it requires more than a government. It requires collective effort for us to move that. So let's go to a commercial break. Then we can start with what are some of the aspiration at the continental level. And from that, we can come to the real conversation of Namibian young people, challenges, opportunities, what needs to be done. Then we can do a policy analysis of National Youth Policy, the third National Youth Policy, which was launched in 2021 by the former Minister of Youth and Sport. And we look at what really happened. How much was used in consultation, how much was used in drafting of that policy, presenting of that policy, and we put it on the scale. Is what on the policy what is presented? And I think it's also time to hold our people accountable, not only ministers, but everyone who was responsible for defining or presenting the future of young people. Holding them accountable doesn't mean that we should prosecute them. Holding them accountable, it means that they should know that they have made certain mistakes, and to be clarified also, and for others also to learn. Because at the end of the day, one thing that this conversation is going to look at is that the demand of recognition of young people does not. And I want our listeners to get as well. It is not denouncing the contribution of adults or elders to national building. That is one thing. And it does not negate the wisdom which elders brought on the table. It's a different thing. And it's not a counter-generational argument to say it's only young people who are right, because the demand of young people should not threaten the presence of elders, because we have a very good understanding to say in Africa, no matter how young you are, that is our understanding from the African philosophies, to say wisdom come with age, and we can't do a lot without understanding or without getting views from those who came before us. That's why when we are bringing this conversation, especially from the youth perspective, it does not necessarily mean that we are fighting adults or we are fighting elders or we don't recognize their contribution to national development. We would be lying when you do that. When we do that, we will be lying. Okay, that's why it's always very important to draw the lines, to say the demand of young people to be realized, the demand of young people's needs to be addressed, or the need for young people to be on the table because they are already in the building, does not necessarily mean that we should throw away the elders or we should not undermine their wisdom and contribution to the national development. It just means that the conversation is defining what needs to be done and the direction of the nation and the continent at large, because through the complexity of history, one will be able to realize that at certain point in time, like the point that we are in, African continent is a youthful continent at this moment. And interestingly, time change, it's not going to be a youthful continent forever. Statistics change, unfortunate events happen, population dynamics change. But at this moment, how can we drive continental national agenda in the lens of young people? So let's go to a commercial break, then we can dive into it.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that...
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we're always very happy to be here. We're always very happy to be here. And wherever you are finding yourself, whether you are on your way to work, you are jogging, some of you are still sleeping, some of you, you are planning your day or meditating. So it's very important, and we respect the fact that you prioritize Eagle FM programs, and we appreciate that, and we don't take it for granted. So the conversation for today is looking at Africa agenda, African continental agenda, in the lens of the young people. What is seen for young people, and what is this thing called African agenda, and or African agenda 2063. And what is this continental vision saying about young people, and how nations or states integrating this African vision into their national development agenda, and what does it mean? Beforehand, it's very important to realize that after 50 years of African continent fighting or establishment of OAU, which eventually turned into AU, Africa at the continental level has always vision about addressing the issues of its people at different points in time. However, in 2015, January, there was an adoption of African Agenda 2063 on the 31st of January 2015. That was on 24th Ordinary Assembly of Head of State and Government. It was now done in Addis Ababa. And what is very interesting is that the African Agenda 2063 was a vision of looking ahead in the next 50 years where Africa aim to be. And in that vision, it has priorities and it has aspirations to say, in the next 50 years, this is where we want our continent to be. And now, when you look at those aspirations, I want us to look at some of them, especially number 6. Which is indicating that an Africa whose development is people driven, relying on potential of African people, especially its women and youth, and caring for children. That is aspiration number 6. Now, when these aspirations are put on the table, there is nothing called the African continent without African states. That's one thing that we need to look at. Because these aspirations, they are not somewhere far. These are the aspirations which were are supposed to be implemented at the national level. And this were aspiration, or these are the aspirations which were supposed to be integrated in national development, because when people sit on the table of planning about the national issues, they look at the global vision. Where is the world going? What is UN saying about young people? What are the statistics? And the other thing is also that what is the continent saying about young people? What are the statistics? And also, what is the current national need? Now, I want you to look at this thing this way. When Africa make a decision, or head of state at a continental level make decisions, at the national level, that is what has to be done. It what has to be done in terms of prioritizing and also integrating this aspiration in your national policy. It's not something to really debate about, because it's a common vision where everyone has to contribute. Now, what is very interesting is that through all those years, from 2015 to where we are standing, people, politicians, national, regional leaders, NGOs, faith-based institutions, they have been speaking about the challenges which young people are facing. They've been speaking about the challenges, what need to be done, and how it has to be done. But nothing, or closer to nothing, was done. Because we are not looking at the main issue. We focus more on at the policy level. We focus more on drafting policies. We focus more on, looking at external consultants to draft our policies, without doing absolutely less than what is expected. Yeah, because before we go to the National Youth Policy, number three, it's also very important to ask yourself this question, particularly as a young person, because, you know, bringing this conversation from a young person's perspective doesn't necessarily mean that we are here to play victims. It means that we must find our balance in this national ecosystem. And we must find our balance in this national ecosystem, in this conversation. And we must make sure that we are not just in the building, but we are on the table. We are not just in the building, but we are on the table. Now, ask yourself this question. Before you ask yourself this question, understand that you are not going to be active and young forever. One day we are going to be grandpas and grandmas. We are not going to be young forever. But one thing that we need to understand is that it's also very clear that holding power and authority is necessary, particularly when you use this power to open up opportunities, empowering others, and also capacitate those who need to be capacitated. Ask yourself this, as a parent or as an adult, what is your view of the young people of today? Ask yourself this question. What is your view of your, not necessarily to say your children, but the youth that you are seeing? Are you seeing them as the good generation? Are you seeing them as people who are not able to lead? Are you seeing them as people who are going to waste the national resources? And what are you going to do about it? How are you viewing them? Because there was a time I was having a conversation with one of my uncles. And he indicated that, no, you young people, our generation was the best, and there's no young people who would do what they have done. Then I said, we're also going to do the same. We're also going to say the same to people who come after us. Now, one thing that elders and adults are making a mistake with is not believing in the current youth, not giving them opportunity to make mistakes, and also underestimating what they can bring on the table. and also not trusting in their capabilities. That is one thing that elders are making. But how do you view young people of today? Just in general, you can be in your 60s, you can be in your 70s. How do you view them? Do you see them as your future, not only future leaders, but those who are going to hold all these resources of this country, whether it's private sector, whether it's NGOs, whether it's government itself, whether it's academia, because there is always a generation after every generation. And every generation, when they come on the table, they define their mission. Now, apart from you asking yourself this question, let's go to young people of Namibia. What is the common agenda that we have? Because it's also very difficult for us to solve our problems when you don't have a common agenda. What is a common youth agenda that we have? Because being at the youth spaces and seeing the conversation from different young people, you will be able to realize that there is always those few young people who don't think based on the needs of others. They can have a good position. They can have a position of influence, but they are starting to think as elders, forgetting about the generational mission, or forgetting about the current needs at time. You know, I was very angry, and I want to put it this respectfully. I have seen one young person who was sent to a lawmaking house to represent the needs of the young people. Then this person, very smart individual, but the only thing which made me not really well is that this person was at the center of deep conversations, but not necessarily conversation about the young people. This person was at the center of conversation about marriage. Yes, it's very important about it. But why are you not making noise about what you have left outside? Because the difference between you being in parliament or you being in a lawmaking house and somebody who is outside and another young person is only that they are outside. That's the only difference. But you are supposed to make noise to address the issues of young people which are outside that zone. Now, looking at a generational mission and national youth agenda, I want to see not to say matured politicians. What is very interesting is that the youth of today, especially those who are in politics, I'm very sorry to go directly to that area, but it's very important, especially those who are in politics. Just look at all the leaders of youth wings. You can look at SWAPO, you can look at the PDM, you can look at LPM, AR, all the leaders of this youth wing. Do we have a point where they sit on one table, then they agree on commonalities that youth are facing, or they are even scared of sitting on one table because of the old politics? Because the old politics, the politics which look at another political opponent as an enemy, not as a colleague in national development. Because the old politics, the politics where people were fighting with guns. But I want to see the leaders of SWAPO, Youth Wing, LPM Youth Wing or Youth Command, what they call it, PDM, and all these political parties sitting on one table. Then they come and agree to say, whatever political difference that we have is political parties, because we are political actors. There are these non-negotiable needs and aspirations that we need to address in. and we need to support. And I also want to see this when institution like the lawmaking house, institution like the lawmaking house, the August House, when issues of national youth agendas are being discussed, young people were supposed to stand on one side. They were supposed to stand on one side and say, this is what we need. This is what has to be done. And this is our future. Because if you are not going to be like the young people of 1976 of South Africa who say, our future is being put in the drainage, what are you doing about it? It's going to be very difficult. Looking at what is currently happening, it's going to be very difficult because what is currently happening. You know, a lot of people, they have criticized our former minister of youth, Madam Agnes Jongarelo. A lot of people spoke about ineffectiveness. They spoke about the youth ministry being a little bit weak. But I think we also need to look at the core issues. What were some of these challenges? What were some of these challenges? And how can the current minister of now is education, youth, and all the connected, the whole ministry? It's also now the time to look at what was really happening. What is this thing called Namibia National Youth Policy? What is the content of Namibia Youth Policy? What was the use of revising the National Youth Policy? Why is it not effective? Maybe start from there. Do we need to throw away that document, or we just need to practically implement it? And what is the current ministry going to do about that revised National Youth Policies? Yeah, dear listeners, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 7:30. Today we are looking at continental youth agenda in the lens of young people, or continental agenda in the lens of young people. We are looking at how can the young people of Namibia define their generational mission. We tracking back the history of youth contribution to national and continental development, and we are looking at policies on the table, especially the National Youth Policy, which was revised and launched on the 2021, and what is really there, and why what is on paper is not what is on the ground. So let's go to a commercial break, then we can come through.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe kike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange kashake ngeshe faa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendike nawa nokumona oijamoili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatuimwe bali heali nola natu. Heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And as I've indicated earlier, today we are looking at youth agenda. How can we realize the African Agenda 2063 in the lens of young people? And at the national level, what have we done for young people? And what did young people do to make sure that they define their generational mission? What is so very interesting is that the global statistics are indicating that Africa is the youngest continent in terms of population. Around 70% of African population is below the age of 30, which means that the young people are already in the building. And what have been done so far? And are the young people agreeing on one thing, particularly on the current needs, current challenges that the young people are facing? You can talk about unemployment. You can talk about issues related to economic opportunities, issues related to education, issues related to violence, gender-based violence, issues related to crimes. Why are the young people not sitting on one table and agreeing? And does political difference limit the thinking and real conversation of young people? And why are the young people are focusing on different things when they got opportunity to influence things rather than focusing on assisting others? Are the adults or elders have something to play in this? Or is just our thinking? Now, let us look at the National Youth Policy. We look at its objectives and its implementation plan. And we also, when we look at this policy, we also need to look at what were some of the challenges of achieving this. Because interestingly, under the former Minister of Youth, Madam Agnes Yongarero, there was a revision and analysis of coming up with the third National Youth Policy, which ran from 2020 to 2030. Because this, with Namibia, it's like many other African countries, there are always plans, there are always policies, and programs. And reading at this youth policy, you'll be able also to realize that its establishment was to making sure that consistency in terms of addressing the needs, the current and future needs of young people at that time. That was one of the motives or the main motives is to address the youth issues. Interestingly, this third or revised national youth policy, it was made after consultation in various regions, and I'm seeing on top here there is a National Youth Council. I see also UN have contributed, and I'm also seeing the ministry itself. But we need to look at the policy objective, because there are always policy objectives. And when we are done reading this, we are asking ourselves, what happened in the past 5 years? What happened in the past 5 years? Was this policy used? Or was it 20% used? Was it 6% used? Was it 50% used? Or everything is on track? Now, when you look at the third national youth policy objectives, number one is youth education, skill development, to advance that young people have access to quality, formal and informal education, as well as skill development to improve overall educational outcomes. That one is telling you improve overall educational outcomes, which means that you are educated in order for you to participate in the economy. Youth health and well-being, to promote access to friendly youth, health information, education, and also services to achieve improvement in health and well-being of the young people. Then you have youth employment and economic empowerment, to facilitate access to economic empowerment and opportunities. Youth and civic and political participation, I think this one we are doing well. Then you have now policy and strategies. Now, I want us to look at pillar number three. When you look at pillar number three, this one is talking about youth employment and economic empowerment. Then you come down to look at pillar number three again to say, what are some of the strategies for pillar number three, which is youth empowerment and employment? This operationalization of National Youth Development Fund, and also prioritizing UN youth programs, improve database, and also ability to provide information about youth land on enterprises, advocate for internship opportunities, cooperation and establishment for young people, increase employment opportunities through sport. Then number six, strategy number six under pillar number three is very interesting. Increase employment opportunities through sport. Now, you have a game plan, what need to be done, how, and the resources allocated to you. Then the question is, what went wrong? Because the National Youth Policy of Namibia is very beautiful, where researched, sound good on paper, but is this what we are seeing on the ground? Is it what we are seeing on the ground? What is happening to youth institutions? And who is behind this, I don't know how to say it's political games, but who is behind the ineffectiveness of youth institutions? Is it our own young people or some elders? Those are some of the questions that you need to ask yourself. And why the former minister of youth had a lot of criticism about the youth sector. What really happened? Did they just draft a policy and throw it under the table? Or they were busy with other things? Because if you talk about the promotion of employment through sport, then after all these 5 years, Namibia never have just a basic stadium that people can play. We can play even regional football, where you have the national team going and train in South Africa. Is that making sense? A national team going to train in South African stadiums, the whole Namibia. And when you look at that strategy of increased employment opportunity through sport, you're asking yourself, what was really happening in the past 5 years, particularly in terms of sport? And I think it's also the right time we, in the near future, to get either the former minister to come in and discuss with us what was really happening. What was really happening? And because this is our conversation. It's us young people demanding what need to be done, and respectfully, and also understanding that, like I have said before, the conversation about the need for young people's needs to be addressed immediately does not undermine the contribution of the elders to this national development agenda. And it's not undermining what the elders did to bring this country so far. That is the point of argument. And it must be very clear to understand that when you talk about 70% of something, if you are doing if you are studying a course and you get 70%, that is a B. It means that you did more than it's enough. And when the population is 70%, it means that out of 10 people that you are seeing, out of 10 people that you are seeing in Namibia, 7 of these people are young people. That says a lot. And looking at youth unemployment in Namibia as you are speaking, how are we going to address it? How are we going to address it? Is it through internship? Yes, maybe. Because because when you look at, for example, the public sector, it's been bloated for a very long time. Expanding the public sector to accommodate everyone for employment can be a good move, but is it sustainable? Is that what we need, or we need practical participation in economic activities? Whether it's the fishing sector, whether it's real business, whether it's investment, whether it's agricultural sector, and also many other sectors. Now, while we are at the creation of employment through sports, let us look at the quality of sport in Namibia. How many international players that we have? How many international players that we have? And ask yourself this question: where are the young, talented, and energetic young people? You know, the other day I check on the newspaper the issue of Christian Boma and Masilingi. These are our shining diamond so far. But what is happening currently? Were we only praising them when they were winning? What is the ministry doing to make sure that these kids are brought back into the game? What are some of what is that sector of young people doing? Why do we lose all our fights at an international level, particularly Namibian boxers, is facilities or prioritization of this sport also a contribution? The other time, Nakathira was beaten by a very young boy in America. I know in boxing there's nothing like a young person is about weight. He was beaten. He put up a brave fight, but going in the footsteps of others who went there and lost fights, it says a lot about our training, our priorities, and also our understanding of Namibian sport. It says a lot. And when we are doing, when we are not doing this, when we are not doing this, when we are not changing, when you are not criticizing people, I don't think we are going anywhere. So, I think when you look at issues like not issue, but when you look at the document like National Youth Policy. Okay, let's get the caller. Yes, good morning.
Morning, Mr. De Chombe.
Yes, morning, Uncle.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Thank you very much for sacrificing the time in the morning and give us more important information.
Okay.
On our agenda forward.
Yes.
We begin today. We have begun yesterday.
Yeah.
So maybe there's still more to be done.
Yeah.
Now that you have given us the scope,
yeah,
of youth development in that document,
yeah,
it's very quite important.
Mm.
So now the issue, you posed some questions there, and
yeah,
one of them was that why are we losing more at the national level?
Yeah.
And then I know maybe my answer might not be appropriate. I'm giving now.
Yeah.
So you see, and I've been worried about that issue.
Yeah.
And the reason why we are losing perhaps could be, we are exposing our fighters, our people who are competing.
Hmm.
So early, especially on the boxing side. So once we see that, yes, they have the potential, the talent, and they are doing well, immediately we put them on the international level.
No, is their records?
It's their records, because you know you can acquire that recognition immediately.
Yeah.
Because you were bullying these ones who are not so exposed and not so strong,
yeah,
not so well prepared.
Yeah.
Now, because you are bullying this one, you can hit them.
Yeah.
And then now, immediately you expose that particular person.
Yeah.
To that, like American boxers.
Yeah.
But when you look at your standards and you evaluate and assess very well.
Yeah.
Even the record doesn't really matter. The record has been so good up there. It has been good because you have never faced somebody who is so tough, well prepared, mentally, psychologically, and everything, like you.
Yeah.
So that even though you are in the same category,
yeah,
in terms of weight and all these things, but the exposure, it's very important. You know the American boxers, how they do? They get them from the street.
Yeah.
You know, because it's employment
creation. Yeah.
So you don't even, for us, we are waiting until you get into the police for employment.
Yeah.
That's when you, or maybe the police has spotted you, they are training and you are good, and then they put you in.
No, look, some professional boxers I've seen, and I'm waiting for people to counter this argument. They are still driving taxis, but how do you expect a person to be committed?
You see now.
Yeah.
So somebody, I know that one who was making you head waves. And
yeah.
Driving a taxi. Now you are busy there driving a taxi. and then the children don't have food there,
yeah.
And this taxi has broken, and you are fighting again with the clients there who doesn't want to pay this.
No, you're at the garage fighting. Other people are already at the gym.
No, I'm at the gym already. They have
Yeah.
They have gone already through the psychologist.
Yeah.
They have gone already.
Medical checkup and all those things.
Medical check, everything.
Yeah.
And they have eaten,
They are balanced diet. Oh, you are eating Kapana with as a single quota. Other people are eating balanced diet today in the training.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we need to be serious when it comes to issues of this nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that, and I have been having that argument, and unless somebody else should really prove me wrong.
Yeah.
So, I believe that I haven't seen it myself. A fighter of the character of Harry Simon.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one yet in Namibia.
I think
somebody who can really fight the American boys.
And you know what I'm thinking, man? I think those are the, I think Harry Simon is the first generation of professional boxers, and all attention was given to him, and I think he had also good mentors by that time.
No, he was not he was neglected.
No. When he started like professional.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
He could have support and things like that.
Yeah.
But he's one of them who was never well managed.
Yeah.
Somehow neglected.
It's a good point that you brought.
Because even now I still regret and I still turn and cry. I say why?
Yeah.
Why? That's why even some of these actions that have taken place and that led him to do things, it's just because the person was not well taken care of. We allow our competitors, our athletes and all these people who are competing for us, when they come, they are on their own.
No. I think you know the conversation that I was also looking at. You know, Christian Boma and Masiringi. These are our national stars who, during COVID-19, they united as they were overtaking the Jamaicans at the Olympic there. Then something happened. These medical things, testosterone level, and all these things, and their performance is a bit lowered. But the question that you are asking yourself: are these young girls going to be upgraded so that they can come back to the spotlight again, or is the end of the history?
You see,
yeah.
All those things actually require our corrective efforts that you are talking about, so that we can contribute meaningfully through sports. And sports. When you now look at the sports facility, in community, so you only go there when the water is now subsidized.
Yeah.
Because in the field.
Yeah.
And the only field that you have there is for soccer.
Yeah, because most of the time sport we just think about soccer.
I need somebody to really bring this kind of revival, just like the spiritual revival.
Okay.
So there are so many points that I could talk about.
I want to ask something before you go on. I want to ask you something about the young people generational mission. I know during your time, the youth of your time, I understand that they were united by common pain and fighting apartheid, if I have to say so. But when you look at our generation, do you think Namibian youth have a generational mission where you have a youth leader from SWAPO, for example, sitting with a youth leader from LPM and a youth leader from PDM and saying, regardless of our political differences, this is where the direction of young people should be? Do we have that?
So the vision is crafted.
Yeah.
And they may also have some those kind of aspiration.
Yeah.
So you said, it's because they look at each other as enemies.
But was instead it?
Instead of looking at each other as development partner, people who can move together. Yesterday we were talking about a wagon. And the ship, if the captain of the ship, and everybody is singing there.
Yeah.
So that vision might be crafted But is it clearly, explicitly explained to the youth? Do they understand what it means?
Yeah.
What entails their steps? Maybe one need to convince them somehow through kind of awareness and education that you are doing now. And so that they can then see how they can harmonize their difference. If you are coming from this aspect different, you are coming from there, there is also a need for us to seriously, in psychology, they call it culturally, what is it? So that you are not somehow just focusing on your own. There is that kind of integration.
Inclusion.
You have spoken. Inclusion. So the vision is there. Maybe we just need to motivate them, somehow awakening their spirit, so that they can then see how to support the vision. Because many a times, for example, if they are youth in the rural area, you know, they walk around, move around, and they don't see sport facilities, even at school, at the church. But you see those facilities. Are they being used for maybe evening for boxing, for example, and then some kind of cinemas, some kind of comedy, you know, those who are doing comedy, in the church hall, even in the church. So you pay a little bit and then the youth who are within that area, they can be there using your facilities, and schools are there where there is no... My friend, there is a need for us to put our effort together and move.
Yes.
Because otherwise, these visions and all these things that you are talking about, yes, they have that spirit, but do they have the spirit of uniting themselves? In conclusion, to tell you the story, since you have asked me about that thing, and I think, hope this one will fit in there. When we started now this time of before, we were using to, you know, used to go to handing, we used to go to all these activities in our community there. Then when the struggle now, the message come to us, came to us and the struggle. So we started uniting ourselves. I can tell you an example, and I speak, I'm speaking it with proud. So when we heard about those things and our brothers, those sisters who are big, I was also young among the elders, and I had to go to schools and what, the 79. Do you think you can do that? And then you gather them, they come out, and then off we went. To mobilize others and went to Swapo. Some of them were big. So are we not, it's the same thing. When you are from Swapo or
No, we are the same. Because the enemy here, number one enemy of young people here, like currently number one enemy, is unemployment.
Unemployment, crime, and all these other things. Are you saying that this youth, even in Havana or wherever, we were also in Havana,
no,
Babylon?
You know, this conversation will get me beaten. You know, there was a conversation. No. There was a conversation about a certain young person who was appointed to go to parliament. Then she started debating about marriage issues. It's not wrong to debate about that, but people were asking on Twitter to say, no, why are you putting us in trouble? We don't want to get there yet. Talk about the issues that young people are facing.
Immediately.
Yeah. How can
you have to talk about strategic needs after 5 years or 10 years? And why can't you address the immediate need?
Yeah.
The bread and butter.
That is not your baby. Let elders deal with that issue. Deal with our main issue here. Then we can understand
that. The issue.
Yeah.
I think they're somehow losing focus also.
No. I think it's the nature of politics also, which, making these young people, you know, some of them, when you meet them personally, they have good ideas, but maybe politics also will not give them freedom to say, if you are from SWAPO, I'm from LPM, I'm from AR, and you're making a certain point, which is very good, and I like that point, I have to support you. And I also have to make adults understand that this is the ground, and this is where we are going.
I think you have a bigger responsibility to make them understand, so that they realize that, yes, though we are different, I mean, have different political ideology or whatever, economic ideology, so we still, we are addressing one common enemy. And this is the challenge that are facing our country.
Yeah.
How do we then turn this challenge into opportunity? I think as you do the education, I think we have a tangible and positive change the experience.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop. We have around 8 minutes. That is our uncle. It's our uncle, and we are always very happy for his contribution. And today we are looking at the youth agenda. What is the commonalities of young people in Namibia, whether they have differences in terms of their faith-based institutions, their ideologies, and different background. There is always something that we are sharing. And are we willing to come on the table and say, no matter how you look, this is where you need to address? Because believe me, you, for these issues of, the main issues of young people like unemployment, crime, and all of these things of gender-based violence, for these things to be addressed, you need everybody on board. And people don't understand this. And at the political front, which has power to make laws and also allocate resources, at the political front, you cannot have a successful youth directive, policy, or defended budget which support the advancement of young people and also the participation of young people in the economic activities without having all these youth politicians understand and also agreeing on one thing. Because you need everybody on board for you to move this. And it's also the time now to question our youth sector. Because I remember there was a time I attended the revision of City of Windhoek youth policy. How many of you know that City of Windhoek also has a youth policy? There's a policy on young people. And I was also a bit shocked that a lot of young people also, including me, did not know about that. And when that youth policy was revised, the statistics and numbers are shocking you. How many young people were having access to that youth policy, and how many of them are aware of opportunities at the City of Windhoek, and how they can access that. And what is very interesting is that, talking about these policies that we have, a lot of policies that we have in Namibia, it's also one thing to look at the implementation and do an MNE to see. Because if you have City of Windhoek with youth division, and within that division you also have sectors, then you ask yourself this question: how much of City of Windhoek budget is allocated to youth development? How much of that? I was talking to one of the employees within that section, and he couldn't reveal anything because it's shocking. It's shocking that you have a city of 500,000 population. Within that 500,000 population, 70% of this statistically saying under the age of 30 are young people which are faced with challenges. Then looking at your budget as a city, looking at your budget, then you ask yourself this question: what is your allocation to youth development? Then if you don't have a budget about that, if you don't spend even a few cents on that, then you are doing something wrong, because you never address issues of crime, issues of prostitutions, issues of there's a lot of unfortunate things which happen, and you spend more time on preventing crimes, issues of drugs and all those things. You can only address those things if you go to the root cause of those problems. So, dear listeners, you can still engage us. We have around 3 minutes at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Today we are looking at youth agenda, African continental youth, African continental youth agenda, and what are the national priorities in terms of young people? What are the policies which are addressing issues of young people, and how can we move from there? Now, before we come to the end of our program, I want to indicate that looking at the third revised national youth policy, which was drafted and also presented under the leadership of Meme Agnes Tsongarero, the former Minister of Youth and Sport, is a very beautiful policy. When you download it and read it, it's a very beautiful policy because it's taking the span of 2020 to 2030. And I just hope the current minister, Meme Steenkamp, learn from what has been done. The drafting is good. Maybe start implementing what is there. And all the youth sectors start implementing what is there or integrating this national policy. Because the national policy is providing direction at the national level. And all these stakeholders must be able to implement this. Because when you read this policy, when you look at its aspiration, when you look at its direction, when you look at its plan, it's good. But its implementation is closer to zero. Because if you are saying you want to address unemployment through promotion of sport, and in the past 5 years we never had a stadium, or we never have we have a little bit of misery, and our professionals are not training at home, and we are losing the battle at the international level, I think that there is something we need to be done. And not only that, it's not only about sport, it's also about entertainment and other sector. And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Thank you for your time and your contribution. And see you next time, same place. And have a beautiful day. Don't forget to download the Eagle FM app. Don't forget to follow us in our social media platform. Until next time, and I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Mike Oshuveri.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evito danjuka okukwetira oipindi